Welcome to the 12th episode of The Punsters. In today's episode, we have the hilarious Salvador Viesca. Today's topics include writing methods, starting comedy, texting, and condescending douchebags. So hope you guys enjoy this.
But I wanted to say, the last time we recorded that was our lost episode, we had this yes-and thing going on, and I really liked that, so I liked that energy. I thought that made that show very enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we were talking about the whole improv aspect,
yes.
And I did that. I mean, he used to come to the shows, Raul, who I'm pointing at, got to get used to the fact there's no cameras.
Yeah.
No one knows. No one's psychic. Yeah, he used to come to the improv shows, and like the core tenet is yes-and. And I think on a conversational level, you see it almost anywhere. As soon as someone... I was thinking about this last Tuesday at Till 2. There was a guy who was agreeing with everyone's conversation who kept on saying, no, 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 but yeah. And it's like, because he wanted to be the one saying it. So if you're saying his next point, he didn't want you, no, no, I agree, but no, 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 you're not the, I'm the one that has to say it. That's like the vibe. And it's like, dude, you just like shotgunned like a whole bunch of no's conversationally. And you're agreeing. That's like the worst.
Yeah.
You're like, this is yes and preceded by just like negativity.
No and.
Yeah. No, 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 but yes. Yeah. It's like, well, every time you have but in a sentence, it kind of negates the stuff that followed or preceded it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what it does on a conversational level. It's total mouth breather move, and I'm picking on someone now. Anyway. Oh, man. It's nice seeing all y'all. It's been forever.
Yeah.
I missed you.
It's been a long time. Too. Yeah. You've got a nice store here.
Thank you. Yeah, we're currently recording your podcast in my store in La Jolla.
Yeah, that's right. And it's an awesome store. I like it. There's so many things to like put on and try on that I'm curious about.
Dude, anytime you want to come by. Justin, we're one of his outfitters. You know, he comes by.
That's why he always looks so fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I got a new fancy hat that you're giving me for free.
That's an interesting phrasing. That is weird how you phrase that as soon as it's on recording.
Right, well.
That's really interesting. I like that tactic. I get that actually pretty often. For people like, oh, you said I could get this for $23. I was like, oh, when? When did I say that? Because there's a discount printed
when
on the
price. When we agreed to promote your show on our podcast.
The implication was that you were giving me a free hat.
A free ushka.
Is that how it usually works? The interviewee usually provides the interviewer with some compensation?
Yes.
Like, well, you know, I appreciate your time, you know, wanting to interview me, so here's your payment, and I'm out.
Look, there are people clamoring to do this show. I can name... Russell Brock.
He clamors like a motherfucker. I can believe that. Hasn't he done it?
No.
Oh.
Not yet.
Oh, man. We're trying to get him on, but
I mean, we are going to get him on, but yeah, we just had a kind of miscommunication. We're like, hey, let's do it this thing. And he's like, oh, I thought it was this thing. We're like, fuck. And that's pretty much the end.
Oh, man, good luck.
Wow, that wrapped up nicely.
That's effort right there.
Yeah, no,
good luck, though. I think he's taking another break from comedy because he's steadily eating pussy. If his Facebook posts are anything.
I met his girlfriend, actually, because we went to the apartment comedy show that Douglas Cope does.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
I don't know. Those are all new words to me.
Okay, so...
apartment? Comedy? Show?
What's an apartment?
What's a Douglas? How do you Douglas?
It's a tree.
Yeah.
You're important.
So now they're doing that.
Not really.
So this guy's got an apartment comedy show?
Yeah, yeah.
And his neighbors are down with it, probably come out?
Yeah, a couple of the neighbors were like... But the thing is, they don't come... Like, he has seats up, but they don't come over and, like, sit down. They were like, hey, you know, come by and just take us in. They're like, nope, we're good here. You know, just like, all from across the street.
That's cool. That's cool, though. Yeah.
But, you know, I guess so far no cops have been called or anything, so.
Yeah, you don't have a loud bass and drum set up in the background. Yeah. Gordon was talking about one of these days at my dad's property in La Mesa we have a basement.
And
La Mesa has a bunch of basements because they did not know about the tectonic plates or something like that when they first started building.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So the fault lines. And, there's a bunch of basements there, and it'd be cool to have a basement show.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Like, that'd be, like, badass. So it'd be something maybe in the works if I... It's pretty empty down there. That'd be fun to do. I don't know why I'm talking about it, though. I mean, I'm just saying, that's a cool concept. I love that. The gorilla, like, we love this
gorilla comedy.
This thing so much. We love whatever we're doing so much that we have to, like, do it wherever we can.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this guy maybe just doesn't do open mics or something like that.
Because he lives in Ventura, so it's pretty tough for him to come down, I guess, a lot. But apparently he has been doing comedy for, like, 6 years or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it's just weird that, like, you know, I hadn't heard about it until pretty recently.
And the show's in town here?
The show's in Ventura.
Oh, his apartment show. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
He lives over there, and so that's kind of, you know, so it's kind of tough, but we just wanted to go check it out.
That's sick. I used to bang a chick in Ventura. Oxnard. No, yeah. just a little past Ventura, same area. Fun times. People there are weird. There's something in the water.
Oh, really?
There's something in the water there. Like, I cannot put it into words clearly because I'm not doing that right now. Mm-hmm. But the people, the locals are insane. There's something about Oxnard. Maybe someone from Oxnard will just be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like, yeah, well, a lot of the cities that are not San Diego or LA that are, like, around us, I feel like there's sort of a weird, kind of fucked up vibe.
Like, you thought inbreeding was like an Appalachian thing.
Yeah.
And then
you go to San Bernardino. Oh. I don't know why I just slammed.
Whoa.
San Bernardino.
Oh my God. No. Poor Bernardino.
Fucking Redlands, poor right, Bernardino. Guys? It's just a city in San Bernardino.
Yeah, it's just
the same reference, basically.
I actually had customers that came in really nice. They were very yokely. The boyfriend was wearing overalls, actually. And when I was like, hey, I like people. I really like people, and I get a blast when they have, like, a good energy.
That's it's where,
like,
we differ.
It's like, yeah. And I can tell. You look like
he's
hate.
Sitting with his arms
you
crossed.
You look like all your anger and tension has manifested into who you are now.
Just get on with the fucking story, Sal.
Oh, dude, I don't even want it anymore. No, they were nice customers, really upbeat, and, like, they were kind of broke trying to save money, so I gave them deals where I can, and they said they were from Bakersfield, and they were like, yeah, just we're like, from Bakersfield. They said it like you guys just reacted, and I had to pretend like I never heard of Bakersfield.
What is a Bakersfield?
Oh, I was like, oh, that's cool. Is that, like, north, blah, 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 blah? Like, I just played dumb, and it worked. It worked. They didn't, you know.
They're like, yeah, it's by Frisco. God.
Yeah, he bought a Coca-Cola belt buckle or something like that. Gave him half off.
Ooh,
yeah. He was like, oh golly, I love Coca-Cola. I was like, damn it, man, you're so you bumpkin. I got to give you a deal. You're such a good kind soul.
Country bumpkins from California. That's interesting.
Rocking overalls. My buddy actually. The reason I was in Oxnard had a girlfriend there is because my friends went to Brooks Film Institute. And my buddy, who had a property in Ventura, his dad had a bunch of potato farms or something like that. And they were either from Bakersfield, and had the farms there, or they're just from Bakersfield and somehow owned potato farms somewhere else in the world. But maybe that's what there is in Bakersfield, just farming and meth.
Well, they seem to go hand in hand quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Adderall right now. I'm running high right now. Medicinal meth. I know it's an amphetamine. It's a little different, but it's not.
No,
it's not.
We're all familiar with drugs, right, guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah, I've never done amphetamines. I don't like being up. I like being down. You know what I mean?
You like to be.
But you've never done any downers either, right?
Well, weed.
I guess.
It's a stimulant. I think weed's considered a stimulant, but it can have that downy effect because it raises your heart rate. And I think that's what about weed makes everything so awesome, because your heart's pumping and blasting.
Oh,
everything
yeah.
just is so intense. Like, dude, when you mix Doritos and, like, you know, and you just go off, it's like, yeah, it's intense because your heart feels like you just survived a car accident.
We have the opposite opinion on
really?
How that feels. Yeah, I don't think that feels awesome at all.
Oh, because you don't smoke that often.
I don't smoke very often because... I don't know. Sometimes when I do, I'll get weed-induced panic attacks. And it's not all the time, but it's just not worth the chance that it might happen.
I'm pretty sure your mind has more of an effect than the weed.
Oh, I'm sure. Of course.
I totally get that everyone has their own, you know, if you know your barrier, you know, of like, I shouldn't be doing that drug. I shouldn't be, you know, that's all good. But I think weed's so safe.
You shouldn't have to take anti-anxiety pills in order to smoke weed.
Like, that's true. Because then you're weeding wrong.
Yeah.
You just weeded wrong.
L2 weed, bro.
You can't.
Weed better. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, can you weed a little bit better, Brittany? Can you? You're weeding not the best.
Yeah.
I can't English now. And broken.
But you had a good run. English.
Yeah, you know, well, you know. For it being my second language, I think I do all right.
Yeah. Is it really your second language?
Mm-hmm.
It's always surprises me when someone who speaks with almost no accent, I don't think of you as having an accent. But no. That's your.
When I hear myself on a recording, which is very detrimental to me, I hear the most Mexican.
You're gonna be really disappointed when you find out
human being. I hear like, hey, what the hell? Like in the back, I could be like, hey, how's it going? But I hear undertones of like, hey, guys! Like, and then that Mexican whistle with like the teeth only.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, how do you do that? I can't do that, but I hear it.
But you hear it while you're speaking.
Yeah.
You don't sound like that at all.
You just hear a man that took a nap under a cactus. That's
yeah.
That's
there you go. Yeah, my uncle Pablo. I learned a lot from him. Pablo's a good guy. Was a good guy. Ah, cartels. The life.
Well, yeah, like for me to myself, I feel like I'm enunciating. Fine, but when I listen to myself back, I don't realize how much I mumble. I mumble
you
so much.
You don't enunciate well at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. And that's the thing. I don't think I'm like, I'm speaking so correctly right now. And it's like, and I listen back, I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know, like, look at me, enunciating.
Yeah, pretty bad.
That's funny. Like, as you're saying that, I kind of hear a little of a nasally tone in your voice. And it just sounds like someone has a, like, the blooper reel sound effect from like a hidden camera show when the guy falls. like the boy is like somewhere in the back. Like
Bob Saget is doing voiceover.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man. So let's make fun of Justin's voice.
Well, it's too bad. He's not on a mic. It's not really fair.
He has a nice sound.
You sound like a gently running motor.
He's the only one of us that actually has a radio voice and refuses to be on microphone.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I just got wet thinking about that. Yeah, you do got a radio voice. Mm.
Boy, yeah. Mm. I don't know. Saying something makes you wet is always.
Well, you know.
Something more.
You know.
I do know. I know what that means.
But my pussy's dripping.
Oh, okay. I thought I was with you now. Now I get it.
Oh man.
You guys both have nice voices, though,
for
radio.
You.
Or for any situation.
My face is nicer for radio.
No,
See, I had to beat you to it. I had to beat you to it because...
Viesca classic.
No, that's all that I have. Just old jokes. I haven't written anything new in 5 years. I only started 2 years ago. Yeah, so...
Boy.
Yeah, there's... It's all a regression.
I kind of feel the same way sometimes. Like, I'll do a joke and be like, I'm pretty sure I thought of this when I was 17 or whatever, and now I'm finally bringing it to stage. I'm like, boy, I'm never going to write anything new ever again.
it's just so funny because mine past experiences.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you talk with some friends from high school and then you get reminded of a story. And you're like, oh, wow, that's a joke that I completely forgot about. Mm-hmm. And I've done that a couple of times. I had a show where a whole bunch of social Mexicans were just happened to be at Till 2. And they're the social Mexicans, for those that don't know, they're what we call the guys that are wearing like the polo shirts with the logo that's like a foot high. You know what I mean? Like they're pretty much Mexican preppy. They're the better Mexicans because they're typically light skinned and Spanish blooded. And, you know, they just have that air of asshole.
You know, right. Monsters.
They're just a step below pedophiles. Just a step removed. And they were not moving in front of me, and they were like kind of blocking my way. And when I finally tried to get past to get to the stage, a guy elbowed me, and he didn't know I was going to go on to the, get on stage. And then I get called next, go up, and I spend 5 minutes just going back to my high school days of just making fun of socials and saying how they sound like a 50cc like motorcycle revving up. It's like I ain't waiting. It's like the most useless people in this room are standing right there right now, and I walk them. I got everyone laughing at them, and I walked them. And I probably could have got my ass kicked if they stuck around, you know, but they didn't. And it just felt so good. I was like, oh, my God, I'm just back in high school talking with Carlos Ruiz and your brother, you know. Older you. I miss that guy. This is an observation from high school. They just sound like fucking motorcycles you're walking by. Anyway.
No, just remembering those old things that used to make you laugh. Well, it's just... writing stuff that is just comes out of conversations with friends is almost always the best material, I find.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Like sitting down and writing something especially for me, is very difficult. But having a conversation, and especially with this podcast, like being able to listen back to it and be like, oh, that was funny. Right. I should expound on that a little bit. That's the most satisfying.
What is it about writing that you find difficult?
I'm incredibly lazy, and writing technically counts as work. So I'm completely averse to it.
You got to work to do shows, man. I mean, you can only be that lazy passive comic so long before you're that lazy passive comic for 6 years.
Well, I'm trying to write it out just like, as long as possible.
I get defeated. I defeat myself, and I have ADD, which is why I have the Adderall, and it's really frustrating for me. But what helps is just writing bursts, having that notepad on you, having that like. You know, that quick little, let me drop a two-line thing, and then I'll get back to it later. Stick it in my wallet. If I have a show that night, that's my new routine. I'm working on it. You know, I got my jokes that work.
Yeah.
You know, that I feel work, that it can be expanded upon. But I just think handwriting is the most important thing when it comes to writing jokes. Don't do it too much, because then you get stuck on a track where you have to recite it verbatim, and the crowd may get lost. But it helps just to have those ideas in your head. You know, even if you're not using exactly what you wrote, just write. Go in any direction you can, because that just becomes knowledge. And I learned from my communication class, if you're trying to recite and you mess up or miss a word or two, it's like dominoes, the rest just falls and crumbles. But if you know what you're talking about, you can kind of reorder and adjust, and you know, and that's where I have a blast. Write a couple lines, write a page or two, and then riff off the one line that I have.
Yeah, that is generally how I operate. I will think of a premise and be like, okay, I think that's funny, and then I'll get on stage at some open mic that I don't feel a lot of pressure for like the Palace or Space Bar, and I will riff. Like, that's when that actually becomes a joke and not just a thought.
I think it's really addicting to just assume that you're going to come up with stuff organically.
Oh, yeah. Why? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I can't really flesh stuff out on stage. I have to actually sit down and write it. And have it kind of in a semi-completed form before I bring it on stage. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing, is that I have to, for some reason, I have to have it on pen and paper, you know. But I'm like, for a while, maybe in my first few months, it was kind of like I just assumed that I'm like, I'll just, you know, stuff will just come to me, and eventually I mean, especially even now, I'm kind of tired of doing the same jokes, so sometimes you kind of have to really push yourself and kind of sit down and just. Try to come up with something, even if it's something dumb, you know. But obviously, the organic stuff is always going to be best. Yeah.
When I get sick of a joke, and whenever I have trouble writing, I have 2 hours to write. I want to write at least 30-40 minutes before I take a quick break. I rewrite a joke that I know, just to get my hands moving and my brain going.
That's a good idea.
And what it's led me into over the last year is, if I have a closer, making it the opener. If I have the big, because there's concepts there that I can tag, that I can expand and kind of switch into another joke or tie into another joke, and it keeps the old jokes fresh for me, while still presenting them to an audience. Because typically you have new people in the crowd. It's the comics that are pretty much from show to show that you recognize. Yeah, they're not going to laugh as hard the longer you're saying the joke, and they're probably going to start thinking, "Oh God, here we go, this kid that masturbated himself to death joke," you know, or whatever the fuck. But
so that's how you deal with, because I know, you know, obviously you go up weekly at Till 2.
Yeah, Till 2 is great practice spot.
A lot of, that's one of the few places that actually have regulars. I see some of the familiar faces. Other than the comics, I see some people that are in the audience, and I'm like, oh, I've seen you before here.
Yeah, they love to come out.
They're really loyal. But that's how you kind of work through that, because I know sometimes, I'm sure, you know, sometimes they'll be like, oh, I've seen these people before.
Well, when I was having a lot of my friends come by, a buddy of mine was dating a girl who was bringing a mad amount of people. And they'd always sit in the front row. And it's like, well, shit. Like, I have pressure to write all new jokes, punch it up. And then I realized, well, no, let me reinforce it. Let me work on it. And they didn't mind. They would give me input. It's like, hey, your meth blockbuster joke, you know, you cut that. You know, that's a little too much. But these other jokes, I love where you're going, the cholo doctor, blah, 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 blah. And it actually was beneficial to a degree, but it still kept me on my toes. It's just tough of not getting into your comfort zone.
Right.
Because I know some guys, I was talking to a comic when I first started, and he's like, I know where they're going to laugh, I know at this point, at that point, blah, 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 blah. And he still talks like that, and I haven't seen him do that many shows. So,
right.
You know, and it's just like, you know, is that really the point.
Right. Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just, oh, let me, I saw a guy, I don't know his name, comedy store, I think regular in LA. Mm-hmm. Older dude, he's doing Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton jokes and wrecking the crowd. Uh-huh. Doing awesome, but it was just like, dude, really? how much
that's
mileage?
Still killing?
Got a lot of Republicans in town here. If he's famous, true. He's probably got a following.
I mean,
he's okay, probably 60s.
Yeah, I'm pretty liberal, but I don't think like Reagan material would kill with me.
That's a little far out though.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd. He knew his crowd. So that's his career. He's just riding that crowd out. And to me, that's not as fulfilling. True. But I'm not gonna knock it. I mean, he's sold more seats than I have. You know.
I'll knock it a little bit. So that guy, come on.
Hey now. Okay. You're right. An all-star. Game on. Go play. Okay, we're
can
done.
We just do that whole song?
Podcast is over. All right, guys. Yeah,
it's been fun.
Yeah.
All right, we should talk about non-comedy stuff now, I think.
All right.
Okay, I'm down. How you guys doing? You well? Cool.
I'm good.
Yeah. Let's go with yes and. Let's just yeah and. What
yeah.
else?
Yeah, I'm good.
And good still.
And great.
And wonderful.
You are
I'm good.
A wonderful
and
guy.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Just
that's very nice.
It was really nice of you guys to meet me here at work. You saw I was pretty busy, even at the end with one customer. But
yeah,
you know, customer. I get those comments because I sell used and new clothing on consignment for other people. You know, who's gonna buy you shirt? So well, this guy just did. This guy just left with like 5 or 6 or something like that. Uh-huh. Like it just happens. It's a crazy business.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The dude who, anybody that's like, I can't believe anybody would fucking buy that. Like if it's a business that's been around for a while, you're just an asshole. Like all that guy is doing.
Yeah.
It's not like he's advising you. Like I don't think this business is gonna work out. Sal. Maybe you should look into other career paths.
Yeah.
He's just trying to make you feel shitty because he's a dumb person.
It's pretty much...
Fuck that guy. This son of a bitch. Okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know where he lives, so we'll find him.
Oh, God.
It's the same,
did
I think...
Did this guy come in today?
No. There was actually
this
a guy...
This is an archetype of guys.
I had this comment a few years ago, and then actually last week was the first time I had a preset thing that I kind of used on the guy. Oh. They were really snobby, kind of preppy... Hampton type people outside. Okay. And we sell designer socks that have like these crazy patterns. And obviously they're new. Uh-huh. And this guy didn't want to go in the store. He's like, I'm not going to go in a store that sells used socks. And I was like, tick one. That group is incredibly dumb just because of that guy alone.
Yeah.
You know, and then this guy comes in, popped a collar and, you know, Dockers or fancy Docker.
He was like white, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Right? I actually got nauseous when you started describing.
Yeah. He was pretty nauseating, and he was like eyebrow raised, kind of like had that disgusted look. And he's like,
I know.
He was like, who would wear? He's like, who would wear used shoes, and who'd put on a used suit or used pants? And I was like, do you only date virgins? And I looked at him, and his wife was walking in with him. And I was gonna tag it with like I'm pretty sure she bathed in between,
God.
And he turned around and left, and grabbed her and left, and I was like, fuck you! And I went back to work. I didn't follow him. I didn't give him a stare down. I was just like, you came in with the intention to be a jackass.
Yeah.
I've read people for a living all my life. I've worked retail, and now I do it on stage. Like, I know that you did not come in here to buy. You came in here to mock and feel better about yourself. Let me make fun of your logic, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Because this is a shirt, not something you stick your dick in and come inside.
Right.
So if you're going to fucking date someone or marry someone that's had a relationship before, maybe think about popping on a shirt that's, you know, $200 less than what it was retail. I don't know. I just think it's...
Yeah.
It's interesting. But what I was going to say is that logic is kind of the same when someone finds out you're a comic and like, I don't think you're that funny. It's like, well, good thing my reality isn't limited by your imagination.
Yeah.
You fucking fool. Mm-hmm. Like, who'd buy you a shirt? Clearly, for 13 years, at least one person.
Yeah, you've gotten at least one sale that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
I got to imagine that wasn't your first.
Not the first today.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
And it was,
I'm glad things are going so well.
It's a new regular. We call them irregular regulars, the out-of-towners that make it a point to come in. And they like the shop.
Cool.
That it's because it's one of a kind. Almost anything in here, you can come in a week apart, and there's different stuff. I mean, Justin, whenever he gets stuff tailored, he comes by and you know just to look, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really don't feel like I need to steer it all into the business, but I appreciate your interest.
Yeah. You guys.
Well, I just wanted to say, like, I used to work in retail for like 5 years at a department store, and
Kohl's isn't a department store.
What is it?
I'm just kidding. I just
Oh. You just wanted to randomly slam me? That's fine.
Did you wear any Colts?
I did.
Oh. I'm just kidding you.
No, I was like, really?
That's a weird.
That'd be weird if I just like started insulting you passively and it was like landing blows. Like, no, no, you're right. I did sell shoes at Kohl's or my brother actually
head
did.
Head cashier. Yeah. Yeah. But I was.
Head
cashier. Whoa. Point of sale specialist.
Oh, wow.
I'll have you know. It's the worst bragging anyone's ever done. Mm-hmm. But what I hated about it was when people were. You know, there's this customer is always right bullshit. And sometimes you have to be nice to people who are not being nice to you.
Yeah.
That's part of the game just in life. But then there are people who are unapologetic monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work at a store like that, you basically, your job depends on you acting like they're not monsters and being like, oh, I'm so, you're right. I am retarded. And that is, that was unbearable.
It's awful. But it makes sense, and it's a good revenge. There's, when you think about it, you're getting their money at the end. Let them be an asshole, you're getting the money at the end. Luckily, this is the kind of business where you don't get that too often. It's like once every 2 months, a month.
Yeah, I can imagine. Jerk. Well, that's the difference between here mm-hmm. and a giant chain. Because like, I made, you know, hourly. I didn't care if they bought anything.
You have no investment, yeah.
I was completely alienated from that. So all I saw was this person is being an asshole, mm-hmm. and I'm having no benefit from, you know, them being a customer. So if I could just, you know, every once in a while turn away the occasional yuppie who wants to come in and tell me that I shouldn't have a business
anymore.
Oh, it
feels so good.
I can't imagine how satisfying that
must
be.
Dude, it is the most satisfying, especially when you have a retort already.
Sure.
Like, I've thought of that before. Like, dude, it's the same logic. You know, like, let me just boom. And it just, it does feel good, but, you know, obviously you don't want to have to be angry. Because you get angry. If you kick someone out or if you, you know, like, you know, it just ruins your mood. Yeah. But what's helped me in my maturity, I don't know how I developed it, but now when I see someone like that, you just kind of realize they've got something else bothering them and they're letting it out on someone that they're essentially doing a drive-by on. Yeah. Someone that's not going to talk to me like that after work. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Like, if you want to be a condescending prick, let's do that when I don't have, you know, the risk of losing my job or something like that. Because if you wanna go or, but obviously there's something wrong with their life. They're mad. They're bothered.
So I had an experience at the Till 2 open mic that kind of told you that I want to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
You're speaking of condescending. So there's a new Till 2 open mic on Sundays, which is awesome. I'm really excited about it, and it's gonna be cool.
9 o'clock.
Great. But so I went up and to do, you know, my stuff, like just pretty much all new material that I have or just stuff that I'm kind of working on or I need to get the rhythm down or whatever. And so I'm doing my set and then I hear someone going like, yeah? Oh, yeah? Yeah, huh? Yeah? Like just really loud, audible to the point where like I have to react to them because I can't not do something, you know? So I look down and it's one of the comics doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty well-known comic and someone that I kind of, you know, like, think is funny and I kind of, in a sense, admire or whatever. And so he keeps doing that, and I just kind of have to be like, oh, yeah, man, yeah. And then, I'm making some kind of, you know, point or whatever, right? And I say that, I'm like, oh, so whatever, and that's my point. And he says, just like in this really shittily, like, condescending, he's like, yeah, I guess that's a point, you know? And it was just kind of like, okay. I've been nothing but nice to the guy, you know, like, and it's just such a weird...
You feel a little betrayed or something
that? Yeah, because in a sense, because it's, part of it is just, it's like meeting, you know, like, I idolize even maybe some of the local people, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like meeting a hero and then being like, and the guy being like, oh, you're a piece of shit, dude. You know, it's like crushing inside. It's like, you know, like it irks me. Like the next day I just felt like,
I couldn't think about it.
You know,
because it's not the same as a heckler or an audience member or an audience not laughing.
Yeah.
It's a comic that you're kind of in the game with.
Mm-hmm. Ideally,
I mean, there is a competition that definitely clicks, but you definitely shouldn't. I mean, that's just disrespectful.
Yeah.
Same team, dude.
Yeah.
Same team.
And this is an open mic. It's not like this isn't a show. You know, of course we're gonna do, you know, material that we're like, you know, maybe not used to trying out. And, you know, it's like,
oh, you're doing unfinished material at an open mic.
Yeah.
What do you think open mics are for, dude?
Yeah.
But I mean, it ties back to what I was trying to say. What do you think about their life? Maybe it's bothering them. I mean, they Maybe that guy works all the time or something like that. He's super stressed out or, you know, had a bad day, bad week, bad month. I mean, you can only take it so personally without going like, maybe he had a point. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did it in the worst possible way, and instead of coming up to me after the fact saying like, that logic doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
well, it doesn't matter if he has a point.
I think it does. I think getting offended is natural, but it's a cop out if maybe you're not taking something from it. I mean, this is mm-hmm. clearly someone that you said you had respect for.
Yeah,
you had looked up to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was just giving you a shortcut to getting to cutting out some fat of the joke. Okay. Or pointing out, I think I mentioned it to him after the show, but on a different night at Till 2, Cameron Dyson had a pretty funny bit about adding self-checkout to porn shops.
Oh, okay.
You know, adding the self-checkout. Yeah. Like, and then he tagged it with, no one wants to have human interaction before ejaculating. Uh-huh. and I couldn't resist. My brain was like, what? And I said that, like, instinct. I couldn't, like, not say what.
Yeah.
And then people in the back started snickering, and I didn't want him to think that I was making fun of him. It was just like, dude, I thought that's the point of coming, like, right. human interaction. And I now that I think of it, him and Ryan left early, so I didn't talk to him about that. I don't want him to think that I was, like, laughing at him.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just comes out, man, and if there's alcohol in your system... Mm-hmm. You know, I saw Jeff Bilodeau once in my life heckle a dude, and he had a couple drinks in him, but it was Jeff with a G. Someone that no one ever, ever respected, who said, I think, like, I forgot what his joke was, but had a bullhorn or something. He's a good guy. I thought he was cool, but I can see why he got on everyone's nerves.
The only thing is, like, it's just lately it's just been this shit. Weird spur of disrespect towards me, like you know, I'm doing
same guy.
No, but just like random comics that I'm like, oh, I thought we were cool or something, because like, you know, I've been booking for Spacebar, and there's a few people that like I kind of reach out to because I think they're funny, you know, and I want them to do the show and stuff, and so I kind of like, you know, like, hey, you know, come like do my show, I'd love to have you, whatever, and they read the message, no response. And I think that's kind of
Stalker's best weapon is the new Facebook. Like, remember MySpace? Like, she read it.
Yeah.
It's
I don't want to know.
I'd rather not know.
Yeah,
and assume. Yeah.
I'd rather be able to think that, oh, he just didn't get it or whatever.
Yeah. But it's bullshit. Just like a text message. I've got a friend who always, I'll send him texts, and then when I call him later in the day, he'll verbally respond to the text as if somehow he saw my phone. My name come up, and is like, oh, really quick, study. Here. Catch up on what he was sending you today. And they're like, oh, hey, I just saw your text. But I was like, dude, I hate getting lied to. Like, I hate getting lied to because I know I'm getting lied to, and I just can't prove it, like, you know, with evidence.
Because you don't want to be like, I know you didn't just read my text.
Yeah, it's like, but I know how phones work, too. Yeah. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't see, it's like, oh, we're just looking at the, and maybe he did happen to be texting. I mean, that happened to me with Gordon. I was texting him right as he texted me, and I was like, oh, that answered the question I was asking. Mm-hmm. Happens every once in a while. But every time,
seems less likely.
Not the most of likely. You seem like you're about to say something.
Well,
I'm still talking though. Oh, so let's. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It's your shop. Let's just. No, I kind of do what you're describing. Like, people will text me, and I will read. Oh.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, and yeah, they will, and they love you.
Yeah, no. This is a premise. Sometimes people might text me. It could happen. And
I feel
a lot
like
of times,
I text you a lot.
No.
You don't respond to me a lot of times.
Jerk.
Well, if you let me finish.
Okay. I'm about to.
People will text me.
You should never
me.
Tell a girl that. A woman that. Let me finish. Just, will you let me finish?
Okay, so people will text me. Hypothetically, people text me. I will read the text, and I'll be like, oh, I should say something, but I don't know what to say quite yet. So I'll be like, okay, in 2 minutes, I'll respond to that. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it's 9 hours later. Mm. And I'm like, well, now I can't respond because it's been too long. I'm a weirdo. And it's just this ball of stupid social anxiety.
No, I think you can. You just say, hey, my bad. Took too long to respond. Or you can do the live. Oh, I just got this. Now it's irrelevant.
Oh, my phone's being weird.
My phone's being weird. Oh, that's the best.
You're one person I don't mind bugging, though, when you don't write me back. Like, no, I mean, normal people, people who I...
Oh, normal
not
people.
Not normal people, but...
not like me.
There are some people who I care normal. To be socially acceptable towards, and I won't text them multiple times in a row. I'm like, Jake... What? Are you alive? What's happening? Not even because I really care. I just think it's funny to do.
So I'm not normal, and you don't care about me.
I do that sometimes where I text, "Is you dead?"
Yeah.
So then when they eventually die. Like the guy investigating,
you're gonna
is
like, feel like real
is
asshole.
This gang banging? Is you dead? Wigga, you know.
Yeah, but I do not mind the multiple texts because it just reminds me that I need to respond to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm never like, God damn it, leave me alone. I'm like, oh shit, you're right. I should.
No, I always think it's funny. I never think you're annoyed or.
Texting is weird. It's kind of like email, but you're not obligated to have to respond, but it's so expected.
Yeah.
And right. That's why there's so much texting and driving accidents. Like right. the death rate is way past alcohol. Uh-huh. Like for the amount of time it's been out. And for how many people are dying or getting in accidents, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. And we forget, it's a text. You don't have, they don't know what you're up to. Right. You don't have to be like, oh, I'm driving right now. What's up with you? Yeah. Like you can just say, I just parked. And that's fine. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, well, the whole point of texting, the reason that it's superior to phone calls is that you don't need to respond immediately.
Yeah.
That's why texting became popular. Because you could... wait 5 minutes and then get back to him. Whereas a phone call, like, you have to be there the whole time, but it's in virtual time.
I feel like I've said this before, but you're really good at rephrasing exactly what we're talking about.
You did say
but
that.
But in your words.
Well.
But in your words.
Captain Recap.
First of all. Captain Recap.
Captain Recap.
Captain Recap. Oh, wait. There was Jake Disha Recap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Anyway, for those that don't know, we attempted this once before. Did we mention it? I don't know.
No, we
attempted
a recording.
Oh, way to recap, you piece of shit.
That's the joke, man!
Yeah, I know.
No, it wasn't a joke. Way to call me out. I shouldn't have done that. No, but yeah, we had some technical difficulties last time, and I'm glad we're doing this again. I'm glad they'll be looking into your pretty blue eyes.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. We can end it on
thank
that,
you.
Right?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I don't have blue eyes.
Yeah, it's just me. Yeah. The only
one. Let's play, let's see how long we can not compliment the only girl here.
Okay.
Let's play.
So far, I'm doing great.
How long?
2 years. How long? Yeah. Keep it rolling.
Oh, that's
hold
great.
The record.
I don't think people compliment me that often.
The guests do. Like all the time.
Because they don't know you.
Yeah.
They're dumb.
They're like,
they're dumb. And then they get to know you and they're like, oh,
oh, man.
Handful.
Let's not talk to her ever.
It's just emotional baggage shouldn't be so apparent, is what I'm getting at. You know, it shouldn't. You're literally carrying a bag filled with your ex-boyfriend's things. That's weird.
You could play it a little cooler.
Yeah, just chill out. You know. No.
I just wanted to see if you would resell them for me.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. No.
What was I recapping before you interrupted me? And
recapping how texts are not necessarily words.
Right. No, I guess I was done.
Yeah, okay. We were done. We were done with that.
I thought that I had more to say, but no, I just I got it out, and then you made fun of me, and then now I'm recapping.
That's what I do, because I'm insecure about everything about myself. See? Well, this is the theme. I'm picking on you because I hate me. All right?
Well... Why would anyone pick on anyone other than that specific reason?
Why elf? I think I heard you say why elf.
You know what?
Why elf would you?
I really don't need this from you right now, Val. That was a pretty easy joke.
You fluttered your eyelids and everything.
Well, I try to be cute for you.
Ravel looks mad.
Should we talk about...
He's mad that we had a brief
we were kind of going off... I don't know if we're done talking about the comics talking shit thing.
Whatever.
I mean, it sucks.
Yeah, it's just
done.
A situation.
All right,
well,
next one.
Personally, I just can't believe that Jimmy Calloway would do that. he seems like such a nice
guy. That guy.
Yeah,
he waited until after the podcast, so now he can talk with all his friends. Hey, you see this mook right here? Is that that's not a racist.
Pretty good Calloway impression.
Was that racist? What's a mook?
I don't know what that is. I don't think that's racist.
I don't know.
I don't think that's a thing at all, but it sounds very racist.
It sounds like something people in Jersey call people that aren't from Jersey that have slanted eyes.
It's close to another word that's a slur, but it's not quite. I think mook is just like a big dumb guy. Fucking mook.
Like someone that would wear that jacket with the armholes cut off. The hoodie with the armholes cut off that we have here in the store.
Mook, exactly. Mook. Yeah.
Oh man, what a mook.
Chest is warm, but your arms are cold. You mook.
I'm not gonna say it just in case it means something really horrible.
What
we can edit. We'd be.
When are we gonna see you at one of the open mics, Brittany? When are we gonna start seeing you doing stand-up?
I think we decided I made a pact. I shook on it with Ricky.
Vallejo?
Yes, but
does he do stand-up?
He's about to.
Oh, it's the Blood Brothers. Like we're jumping together. Thumb and Louise.
Yeah, February 28th.
Oh, cool. At the...
I don't know where. What is that day even? I don't know why I agreed. Tuesday. I don't even know what's happening.
Is it Tuesday?
What is going on?
Wait, you just said the 28th?
Yeah, Ricky
said that to me.
By the end of next month, yeah. I think.
Do the Comedy Store open mic and then do Till 2 on Sunday. It's 7 to 8 and then Till 2, 9 to whenever.
Till 2 might be a good place to start.
It doesn't matter. No one's going to, like, if you're an audience member and you see someone that isn't that funny, it usually gets washed out by the funny people. Like, no one actively hates on someone that bombed.
Raul just told that story.
What, that from comics?
But that's a different experience because those you're are getting it from someone that you know.
That's the exact opposite of what I was saying. Those are people that he is subjected to consistently. He's constantly seeing them and their comics. You're just trying it out. You're going to see if it works out. Mm-hmm. You know, I just might as well.
Yeah.
Plus,
you know, there's better encouragement than, hey, who cares if you're not funny? I think you're going to do well. How about that?
I think you can do well. I don't know for sure. I mean, I don't know what you have planned to talk about, but I think you hang around enough with unfunny people that you can get material from these guys.
Yeah,
you can write something.
Yeah. When that happens, you and we're going to have Ricky, your partner in this. We're probably going to have him on the show and talk about doing comedy for the first time.
Good.
And it's going to be our best episode
ever. It's going to be an interesting follow-up because the reason I'm asking you is because I get sick of hearing people saying they want to do stand-up.
Yeah.
And Danny, every time I see him, he's like, I'm thinking I want to go. Do it!
Are we talking about Gilstrap?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, he has done it, though.
I don't talk about it, though.
Last Comedy Store show, I think we were both on.
Uh-huh.
He was there?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
He talked about it before.
But he's just talking about how, oh, I miss it, I need to get back. But he's never really been super into
it. When you talk about it like that, it usually says to me, or to people, that you're not doing it.
Right.
And there's something about that when you say it, you're like satisfied, and you're like, oh, already, might as well, I already did it. I already told people I did it.
I never talk about it. The only reason it gets brought up is because other people.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it up because I'm interested to see where you're gonna go. Every time I see you, I think I've asked you.
Yeah.
Just to see what the progress is, because it's just I don't know. I think it's good to try it out.
I mean,
instead of regretting it a few years down the line.
I had an old Harry Potter journal that my friend bought me that I never used.
Oh, well, there you go.
This is about to be relevant, right?
Yeah.
It just seemed.
I just like that it's Harry Potter, and I thought that I should throw that out there.
Hey,
but,
Harry Potter's great. My favorite.
But
he's the best of the Potters.
Yep. But I actually sat down the other day and like wrote out one of my jokes. So
that's a big step.
Step one.
And you hated it, right?
No.
Oh, okay. That's how I am.
Well, you should have.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's weird that you're probably going to fail because you think you're awesome.
No, I don't think I'm awesome. Okay. I think my jokes are okay, but I don't know that there's anything that would make someone laugh out loud. I think it's more something that people might go, huh.
Yeah, well, you never know. You'll that person might have a really funny, huh.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
You know?
You just want to make them do that
even if it's
over and over again.
Like, ha! That I can hear, that would be great.
You won't know till you try, and every crowd's pretty much different. You'll find that you'll make some hits, you'll make some misses, and just as long as you're trying, that's all that I could ask for.
Yeah.
I saw a guy at the Comedy Store. He's I think a vintage comic that's trying to get back in the scene.
Yeah.
And so far, every time I've seen him, he doesn't do the best with the same material, and he has to address when people aren't laughing. And has to be like, oh, why aren't you guys laughing? It's funnier than that, or blah, blah, blah. And it's right, like, he deserves it. And I saw him 2 weeks ago, or the week before the interview that kind of got cut out.
Yeah.
And he was telling the audience, like, I don't need this. I don't need you. I have a day job. I'm just doing this for fun. And my thought was like, get the fuck off stage right now. You're wasting 8 minutes of our time.
Yeah.
Like I'm alt-listed. I'm definitely gonna go on. I know I'm going on tonight, but I'm still pissed that you're doing this.
Yeah.
You're not helping. You don't care about this. Mm-hmm. So why step forward? So the reason I'm asking you, I guess, is to see if you give a shit about it, or if you're just doing it just to be, you know, because there's people that do a show a month and like, I'm a comic. I'm a comedian.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That hurts. Like that gets me a lot. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just this sense of elitism, which I shouldn't have. But
no,
yeah,
that definitely shouldn't have. Okay. I shouldn't have that.
No, but it's like you are taking something seriously, and other people are sort of shitting on it by actively doing a terrible job.
Uh-huh. It's kind of. It's not that I'm saying we're like the troops. Mm-hmm.
But we are like the 9/11 firefighters in a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, both are volunteer based. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Damien's joke. He was like a veteran of the Air Force, six weeks.
Welcome for my service.
You know, like I wish you could see that with comics. We should, should have a little barcode, QV.
There's
or
a
whatever.
Couple people that that are new that are that I like that are notable. Like Jaleesa Johnson, like you could
she's
see
got good
her.
Energy.
Yeah, she's got like and Randy Larba too, because he has like a good attitude about comedy. He's a big fan of comedy, and I see him get excited about it, even just being at open mics, you know. So that's and I see him grinding, and Jaleesa Johnson too. So I think
that's cool.
So I'm like, at least some people get it, you know.
Yeah.
I see some new people. I'm like, okay, you're getting it. You understand?
Yeah, because there are so many new people that are just like, not only are they not good yet, but they're like. Why do you even want to do this? Well, it seems like you hate it.
Right, and those people that only do ACC and that's it.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not even thinking about anybody in particular.
Right. Well, you get caught up in your comfort zone. I mean, the last few shows I've done I've done Habanos in the last week, but it's been Comedy Store till 2. Comedy Store till 2. Mm-hmm. And if I get lucky, I get to do another spot, but it's just a schedule thing. So I understand that. But it's when people have the option to do other shows and they're like, no, I'm going to stick to my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And like one thing I regret is getting off so late here because I haven't been able to go to Winston's. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm not working as regularly with advance notice, I'm just going to start calling off Fridays and so I can go there or seeing if I can leave Fridays early, you know, to do that. I'm totally restructuring since I'm not doing school this semester, restructuring my time to have comedy as a priority because it's fucking love, dude. Yeah, I feel so good after walking off stage. Mm-hmm. Even if I did bad, it's like such a good feeling, and like I'm just waiting to have all the stars lined up and I can go at it harder and harder and harder.
How did your first open mic go?
My first open mic was 6 months before my first show at Till 2, and there was 6 months of no doing shows. Jeff with a G told me, I met him the night before. Outside of Lestat's. He was cracking silly jokes. I was drunk, so they were funny. And he's like, I got an open mic in Poway. Let's go do that. So Meddy Mike, Tommy Lucero, I think Benji Garcia Reyes, like, you know, that crew. We went to Poway, Fun Bowl, Jimmy Z's, and I did a 10-minute set from 12 to 10, midnight to 10. And my first joke was an AIDS joke. And I got him laughing. I think Barbara Thomason was there, too, or someone that looks like her. She's got a clone running around. And I didn't get overwhelmed with panic because I was there for the whole show. It's like, dude, it's just a bunch of drunkards at the bar. Just they're lucky to get a laugh. You know, I'm lucky if I get a laugh, whatever. I didn't do awesome, but I didn't want to kill myself after. You know, I wanted to do it again, and I didn't get the balls till because Jeff introduced me to Gordon Downs and Kim Thompson. I was hanging around. And first January 7th of Till 2, they were like, hey, we're done fucking around. Like, we're booking you for the first week. You know, how about you? They didn't phrase it like that. I was like, hey, you want to get booked? Pretty much saying, like, either do comedy or stop hanging around.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I saw it. And I said, yeah. And I did well that show because Becky Robinson brought a whole bunch of her college-age people. And walking off stage, I count that as my first real show because I worked my ass off. I didn't just write that day. I had some dude bro sitting in the front row. He was like, you see this right here, man? This tear is from you. This tear. And I felt good. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I wish you were a chick. You know, you know, it would have been nice. But it felt good knowing that I got, you know, getting the pats on the back, the response, you know. I didn't do as awesome as you think you can. Uh-huh. But it fucking feels good to answer your question. And I felt good with the few open mics. And then I've done shows since then that I wanted to kill myself.
Right.
It happens. It's like washing. Yeah. It's like a shower of shit, a shower of like Purell everywhere. Like, you do a good set, and you're, like, you're on fire, and you feel clean. You do a bad set, and it sticks with you. You get heckled by a comic. Right. It sticks with you 2 days. You probably didn't... Yeah. Have you done a show since?
Yeah, I've done it.
And
it's fine, yeah.
Almost instantly...
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
It's like you just need to have the last memory of comedy, of your experience, has to be good.
Absolutely.
It has to be... So you have to, as soon as you get a bad... Get out there and do something. Do an open mic somewhere and make someone laugh.
Yeah, that's how you get over a bad set. Yeah. Just have a good set.
Yep, that's the best revenge.
But then the problem is, you have a good set and you're like, fuck, I can't do, I'm not gonna go do Shooters now. I'm not gonna bomb.
No, dude, I did a Comedy Store and then went to Shooters, and I didn't do like the Comedy Store, but at that same time, I was like, fuck it, I killed at the Comedy Store. No, I didn't kill, but compared to Shooters, they don't know. Like I didn't say that, but like, compared to how I did at Shooters, I murdered everyone. But in reality, I got chuckles. You know, I got chuckles, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't really, at a certain point, it doesn't matter how well you're doing. It's like, just the knowledge that you're doing comedy is the most satisfying thing about it to me.
For me, it's looking back and seeing the improvements. When I used to play bass, being able to look back and be like, I couldn't even hold down a guitar string. But, you know, now I'm like hammering on bass notes, sliding and doing like this like stuff. You know, seeing that progression. And I've been thinking about it more recently. You're at Brittany at the forefront. You're stepping into it, so this is a big deal. This is like a monumental.
Yeah, you should be really nervous.
Event.
Yeah.
No, I mean it could be a monumental event. It could be not the biggest deal for you, but the more you do it, the more numb you essentially become to the motions. And if you just start doing more shows everywhere you can instead of just your safe bet, you won't fall into the this is my safe. Stage right here, and at the same time you're kind of exercising the muscle, which is your brain. You're exercising your brain. You're practicing the crowd work. You're practicing whatever you're working on. Mm-hmm. That's what's really important. Having a goal. I didn't for a long time. I reached a 2-year mark, and I'm like, I'm an idiot. I got to start recording my shows. Back, I couldn't stand my voice. Still have a hard time. I got to start recording my shows, and I got to have goals. What do I want to do? New joke. Do I want to do this as the beginning? Do I want to tie it? Have a reason to go up there aside from I got to do a set. Like, I feel that it's the best thing you can do for yourself. And you'll either see results or not. You never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a lot of goals that I think probably don't end up helping me, but it's something to try out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. Let me know if I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, dude. Yeah.
I find it interesting.
Good.
What is your next goal?
Did I just give him a look on accident?
No. He gave you a look. He was like, meh.
Right now I have a Kermit Closer, a joke where I referenced that my friend's brother made me realize that deaf people sound like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Moved in upstairs.
Yeah, I remember that joke.
You're like there's like a muffin.
Oh my god, that is
and
so perfect.
At Winston's, I did a lightning round. Jeff tapped me and was like, "You want to do lightning round?" I wasn't planning on doing anything, so I did that joke, which is preceded by my buddy talking about how he was a reincarnated pharaoh in a past life, and I'm just making fun of like, "No, you're a Filipino dude named Daryl." With an apostrophe, like that's the most interesting thing. There's an apostrophe, the Errol, dude, what the fuck? And this woman at the lightning round during that, under that minute, the Filipino thing offended her because she and her group were Filipino. As soon as I said the deaf thing, she started saying, no, shut up, blah, blah, blah. And it added to my my closer, which was, this bitch got offended for someone else. She probably went home, woke up her sleeping grandmother, which every Filipino household has a sleeping grandmother somewhere in it. That's like a new like little tag that I added. And I did do the sign language.
Yeah.
Well, this guy showed me sign language. Eli, the Comedy Store's or the Tilt 2's new sound guy, showed me the basic sign language and he's giving me the practice. So now I do the almost legit sign language when I'm like, this guy at a comedy show said that you sound like, and then I stick my hands in the air and I do the Kermit the Frog thing. Well, that's my closer. I think it works for most crowds. It does well because it's just so surprising. I'm not too active, so when I run around stage like an idiot with my arms in the air, it's kind of funny.
It is funny.
My new goal is to start with that joke, go in the middle with that joke, and make that about how people that get offended for other people are the worst kind of people, probably. Like, they're the person that has to go out of their way to tell someone that wasn't even offended initially
to get them offended with them.
Yeah, and it's like a deaf joke. First of all, you cannot be offended as a deaf person by that joke unless someone translated it for you. Like, that is the most insensitive joke, I think. So that's where I'm gonna attack. That's my new avenue. Not close on the Kermit, let it open and start addressing how people like to get offended for other people. I have that Hobbit nigga joke. I've had that where black people laugh their ass off, and then white dudes don't want to laugh until they make eye contact with a black guy that's laughing.
It's pretty common.
Remember when I did that at Regal? Thing. All white people, I said the reveal to the joke, and then I made eye contact with this black guy, like right there, and he started cracking up, and it was just like, oh my God, I addressed it. I was like, I was so confident that there was only white people here, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, I was like, I'm glad you enjoy it, man, because everyone would have been looking at you, trying, and I just started riffing on that.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had that? Like, someone says a black joke, and you have to pass the test? You know, like, that's it's not really something that's fully fleshed out, but that's my goal. Just stretching out the concept, attacking a little bit of commentary aside of just making a joke.
I love how that person got offended and you didn't even say anything mean. You referred to the fact that someone was Filipino and now you're racist.
Oh, actually, at that show...
You can't even mention someone's Filipino?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At that show, though, when she, by her fifth, no, shut up, shut up.
No.
I yelled, shut the fuck up! As loud as I could. And then I finished the joke.
Yeah.
And then I walked off stage. And I said, like, you're probably going to go home and wake up. And then I did that. And I was like, oh, that's my new closer. Like, yeah. that's fucking yeah. And the comics were like, that was funny. Like, people in the front probably not laughing too hard. But the door guy was like, dude, Sal, what the fuck? That was great. So I was like, fuck it. I'm keeping that and I'm going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Words.
We're going to have to equalize that a little bit.
Yeah, I figured. Let me give you another take really quick.
Okay, yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You know.
Oh, yeah. Just find the middle between those two. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, just balance them.
I don't know how sound engineers work.
Yeah.
And I think you can do that, right?
We'll see.
But it helps to have a goal.
Or we just not release this episode.
Well, you know what you could do? Mute this mic and have it from the other mic. The ones you're wearing.
Oh, that's an idea. I think we should just not have a podcast anymore.
Not have a podcast.
That's my idea. Just stop releasing
like,
them all together.
Like, I fix your paperclip after.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're done then.
Yeah.
The quest is over.
Yeah.
What would your... Justin, you said you wanted to do... You were considering doing it. I mean...
This is correct.
Yeah, your goal is just to go up there and try it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And if I like it, keep doing it.
Okay, but what if you go up there and you don't do that well, but then you didn't put that much effort as you could have? Would you give it a shot? Would you give it another shot, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would definitely.
Are you gonna do it seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, because I wish you the best in that, man. You're a funny dude. You have like these quick wisecracks that are just very subtle because you're so quiet as it is.
Oh.
So when you reveal it, you're just like, oh, dude, that's funny. You forget he has a brain because he's so quiet. You know, that's how quiet people are. It's like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not talking.
Odd compliment, but thank you.
It's because I'm an idiot. I can't compliment friends.
By the way, it's unfortunate that people couldn't see that at home because Raul had to lean in to Justin and it looked like he was trying to breastfeed him.
Yeah.
Like forcibly. Like without saying anything.
Brittany should have done that and the audio would have come out better. Justin would be like, and then you just hear like masticating a little.
Well, I, you know, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I'm so parched.
Oh, man.
Did you pick out questions, or did we pick out... Oh, okay, let's do some... Yeah, let's do some...
Lightning round Q&A.
Lightning round questions.
Okay. Are these relative to things?
No.
They might be relative to things.
They're literally just questions.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No relevance.
All right, cool.
Actually, this isn't a question. Talk your way out of hell.
Ah.
Well, you don't even exist anyway, so who cares?
Oh, boom.
Take that, religion. Gotcha again.
Damn.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Talk your way
No. My wallet's in my car. It's just my wallet's in my... Isn't it a bar? Is hell a bar? What is that? What's hell? Is that how you talk your way? It's like, no, I swear, I'll be right back. I'll be right... No, here, hold on to this high school ID. I'll be right back.
You'd be like, I've brought joy to... Literally tens of people with my comedy.
Oh, man. When it gets quiet, should we ask another question, or are we waiting for answers?
I mean, we can do whatever. We don't even have to stick to this.
We can do whatever.
I'm just thinking.
Our show.
Upbeat, man. That meth is running through me.
Yeah. Yeah, if we have more than an eighth of a second of silence, I feel like people are going to give up.
I cut it out anyway.
Oh, that's good.
I always squeeze it all together.
You should cut out every pause in between sentences.
We should all take Adderall and listen to the podcast.
And I'll put it double speed, dude.
Oh my God, that'd be funny. That's why I'm laughing.
You got something?
Right,
that's what happens.
Great explanation. Okay. Great recap.
Justin has something.
You've been wrongly accused of being defensive. Defend yourself.
I'm not fucking defensive, bro.
Are you under the impression that I care what you think? That's probably what I'd say. I'd probably be like, it's okay, you can attack me or say that. You're just maybe trying to get a rise. I really have, since doing comedy, I'm so good at just saying no. Situationally, not like literally to everything, but just being like, no,
you haven't
I
gotten
be,
better at the saying the word.
No. I don't want to be here, so I'm not gonna be here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, oh, you're being annoying. I'm gonna bye. You know, gonna walk away from you.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, oh, you're being defensive. It's like, well, you're being aggressive. I don't know. Bye.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not defensive. Maybe you're just an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Consider that.
It would, or maybe you are being defensive. You know, you never know.
No, that's maybe not you're you. Just being an asshole.
But I guess it would depend on what they were saying I was being defensive about.
Right. These questions sound like they're how Fox newscasters prep interviews. Like they just kind of, there's all these assumptions tied into it already. Like you ask a loaded question and it's like, well, when you're banging children, do you often, it's like, I'm never banging children, but I do like the color purple. So dude, like ask one question at a time, you know?
Yeah. Do you wear a condom when you rape children?
And it's like, well, the first part, yes, but when and on, no. The word when and on never happens. That never occurs with my penis.
It's so far. I mean, who knows? The night is young, but
that's true. That's true. That's what's scary about life. You never know if you're just going to be like 60 one day and be like,
you know what? I've been putting this off for too long.
I'm old enough to where it's acceptable.
Oh my God.
But what are they going to say?
Yeah.
I'm old. Come on.
Jake sure loves Thailand.
All of a sudden, you hit a certain age and you're just like,
he just loves the shit out of Thailand. Can't get enough of it. Oh man, I've got a couple customers that go to Thailand way too often.
Yeah. You can go to Thailand.
Socks?
Yeah.
You can go to Thailand once, and if you keep going back, it's like.
I love to go just experience. Just I love people like seeing, just watching them be. But it's too scary for me. Any other place on the planet that's not San Diego is just so scared, terrifying to me.
Well, Thailand has giant spiders.
Oh,
so
my
that's
God.
Terrifying.
I'm not a spider guy.
Oh, no. I don't think I've ever heard somebody be like, I'm a spider guy.
my friends, they raise tarantulas, and they could say, like, oh, when its hind legs rear up, it's about to get angry, do this, you can pet this.
Your friends are probably horrifying.
Tarantulas are very scary to me, but they're not as scary as, like, just a normal big black or brown spider, because they can almost look like an animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're furry.
Yeah.
They don't look like aliens. Like, spiders look like
they don't look as spidery as just a huge black spider that I'd see in my house. I mean, I would be terrified of either, but maybe more so a normal spider.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
It does.
That was English.
Well, because what's scary about spiders is not just that they're poisonous, it's that they don't look like they're from Earth.
Yeah,
they're like this abstract nightmare creature.
Yeah,
because you can't even really. I don't even know where your face is.
Yeah,
where is your face?
They have too many legs. It's creepy.
Too many legs. Yeah. Too many eyes.
Yeah, like
there's
no
mouth. It's just like these fangs.
It's like,
boy,
I'm not uncomfortable. I honestly would rather talk about anything. Like, I would rather talk about murder in detail or cannibalism than talk in detail about spiders.
How close have you guys come to almost murdering someone or to planning it out?
Funny. Oh,
have you guys ever, like, you're all nodding. A couple.
We actually talked about this on the show.
Well, okay.
Well, I don't want to.
That was different. We talked about whether we had almost accidentally killed somebody. But
well, I was talking about
purpose.
Me specifically wanting to murder
someone.
Oh,
yeah. Jake all the time wants to.
Isn't that crazy how driving does that to you? I'm a road rage guy, and like, oh, you like to signal or not signal when you change lanes. I want to wipe out your bloodline.
Yeah.
Like, your whole family needs to stop right now.
Just dig up your ancestor's grave, and then just...
Oh, there was this bitch earlier today. Gordon and I were pissed. He gave me a ride on her cell phone, slowing down lanes and lanes in traffic. We're going into La Jolla, slowing more people down. Finally get ahead. She somehow was in front of us, stopped in the keep clear, this is where fire trucks go. Zone, and she's just like texting and not paying attention, and it's just like, oh wow, like if you died right now, I wouldn't mind it at all. Your family maybe a little bit, but if they knew you were texting and driving, they might be okay. they might be okay with it.
Yeah, that's driving. When people don't tip, it's the similar thing where it's not even just the fact that they're not tipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's I feel it says something about them as a person
that renders them useless to humanity.
Oh, I can get that. I can get that. It's like maybe a lack of empathy or foresight and like seeing like, hey, you know what? This guy's not getting paid all that much. This is how it's accepted in our culture.
Your tips are how he pays his rent and you don't give a fuck.
I mean, without delving too into it, my broad approach is if you can afford to go out, you can afford to cover the tip.
Yeah. If you can't afford a tip, you can't afford to go out.
Yeah, and so you see a lot of people like that. They have, like, really pimped out cars, nice rims, and they're, like, you know, in an apartment that's run down, and their kids don't have new shoes for school or something like that. It's like, dude, your priorities are fucked.
Yeah.
I had a guy didn't want to buy shoes here at full price, then 2 weeks later called me and had me ship them to him, which cost more. And it's just like, that's a weird thought. Like, I wonder what kind of thought that is. Like, you're impulsive probably because you just all of a sudden, like, now I need them. Now I want them. And it's just like, I don't know. If price was an issue, then how is it not an issue now that it's more expensive to ship it out there? I don't know. I was just thinking about that earlier. Now you guys know my thoughts.
No, but people, it's just a mood thing, I think. It's, you know.
It's not a mood thing. I know people that, I have friends that say they'll never tip. They don't like tipping.
I was talking about the guy that you were just talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry, yeah.
There are, like, I'll be in a mood where I'm, you know, like, I won't pay for certain things, but then it's expensive later, and I'm like, well, now I'm in a specific mood right now, like, I just, I'm gonna fucking get it. Who cares?
Yeah. And yeah, you're right.
It doesn't really make sense at all. It's very silly, but it's just, you know, whatever's going on with you in that moment.
Yeah, you're right. You just reminded me of, there's this Chinese food place, Red Dragon, something Dragon, maybe not even Dragon, I'm being Asian, racist, in Hillcrest.
I think it's called Red Dragon.
It's, like, always open, right?
Yeah.
So I went there had a little meeting with a friend, it was a writer, and, I left a dollar tip because the lady was really loud, hounding in our ear, constantly saying, you ready to pay? And there was no one else in there. Like, she wanted us out or something like that. And she gave me the bill, and then she stood there, and she's like, you got to sign. And I was like, oh, yeah, give me 1 second. And I slid it away. She kept on standing there, and so I just, like, brought it up against the edge of the table, gave her a dollar, signed it, and pointed it at her. And then she's like, $1? And I was like, yeah, you deserve it. Like, you literally deserve this $1. Like, you were an unbearable bitch the entire time, and Chinese food is Chinese food in here. You can't fuck it up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I always tip double tax and then some if I really like them, you know, on average. Yeah. So, like, I would have been down. I was, you know, I would have been fine, but her approach was just so awful. It's like, I haven't been back since, you know? And it's just,
yeah,
that I think was justified.
It is.
It, for me, I'm rationalizing my own, you know, my own.
No. I totally get that. I think a tip is something that you can lose if you're actively being terrible.
There you go.
But if you just give normal service, you don't have to be super nice or anything. Just do your job. You know, give me a water or whatever, and I'll give you a decent tip. If you go above and beyond, I'll give you, you know.
Yeah, okay.
A more decent tip. But if you're, like, this lady sounds like she was unbearable.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, why would you give someone extra money for being rude to you? You're paying somebody to be mean to you.
It's also got
to
be a cultural thing. By the way, thanks for listening to the Tipsters, where next week we're going to go into how to greet the hostess. How to not look like you're paying.
Customer.
And, well, that's the worst, when I'm like wearing a suit and someone else is paying, and they just hand it right to me. It's like, oh, actually, no, I just got off work and my buddy's covering it.
It's funny. Every time Jake and I, was that what you were going to say?
Yep.
Every time we see a movie together, and I see a movie with a lot of different people, this never happens to me with any other guy, but with Jake, he'll always order his movie ticket first, and he'll say, oh, I'll have one ticket to American Hustle, and they'll be like, not two? Every time.
Just one? Like. Yeah, just what?
He looks like the biggest asshole.
That is so.
It's happened to.
I mean, but you guys both go into the at the same time, right?
No, I'm standing behind him in line, and they'll look at me and say not to, and then Jake says no, just one, and then
it's just a look like. Yeah, I guess you gotta
be like, oh, I forgot you came. Like, oh,
I just don't know why that happens. That's never happened to me with anybody else. That's weird. It's happened literally probably like three different times.
Do you usually show up a little dapperier or something like that?
No. Well, I wear a tuxedo.
As you should.
No, I've
to
never.
To the cinema.
I've never dressed up for anything in my life, so. certainly going to the movies, I just wear jeans and a t-shirt. I don't know what, it is.
That's so weird.
But there
maybe,
is.
Maybe it's like, is it guys usually? Like, I mean, maybe they're trying to find out.
Oh, no, it's been.
If they're trying to find out, they're doing a shitty follow-up, because I don't think anybody's ever been like, oh, you're single?
I have to, like, put my head down and order the movie and look like the sad girlfriend who didn't get her ticket bought for her. If I want to be mean, you know.
That's great.
I had a guy. Come on, bitch, let's go.
I didn't even want to see this movie.
I had a guy in here that acted like my friend used to act as a joke with his girlfriend in high school. He used to walk around and be like, hey, babe, you want this, babe? Look it on you. All right, babe, put this on real quick, babe. Hey, come on, laugh. And I had a guy in here, and at the end, he's like, all right, let's go. We got to go. Babe, come on, get the wallet. And it was her wallet, her paying, and I was like, oh, wow, you exist.
Yeah. Was it Andrew Dice Clay?
No. Why did I answer that?
It's like, oh, it was not. Oh, I thought.
You know what's funny? If it was Andrew Dice Clay, I'd have to keep an eye out. I heard on Ari Shaffir's podcast, or one of those, that he likes to steal little things to get away with it.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I probably can't afford it.
Like, if he ever came by here, I'd be like, I'd definitely keep an eye on the camera or something like that. It'd be funny to call out Dice Clay, just watch him get offended or bothered.
Oh, I would totally call the cops on him. He stole something.
It's like, do you know who he was? Yeah. Do you remember Andrew Dice Clay? Yeah. Andrew Dice Clay.
No, it's that guy. Yeah, it's that guy.
What's he wearing? He's dressed as Andrew Dice Clay still.
Yeah. Picture Andrew Dice Clay. You got it.
You got
That's it.
You got it.
You nailed it.
You nailed it. Oh, man.
I wonder how many people listening know who Andrew Dice Clay is.
They know. If not, they can Google it. You can Google questions now.
What's this?
Ooh. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We just Googled what this hat was called.
Yeah, what was it called again? Doesn't help Ushanka. You retain shit.
It's like an Ushanka, I believe.
Ushanka, yeah.
Trooper hat.
Trooper hat, yeah.
I think is probably what we're going to go
You've been wearing an Ushanka this entire time. Is it rabbit? Looks rabbit.
I don't know.
Take it off. Let's see.
If you don't know, there's probably...
It might say on the inside of the cap.
Natural rabbit.
Natural rabbit. Yes. As opposed to unnatural rabbit going through its punk phase.
Factory
it's
made
like,
rabbit.
Like Frank from
it's got
Donnie
like
Darko.
Pink hair, like a tattoo like under the shaved skin because it's got Skrillex hair on the side. Skrillex hair is, you're getting brain surgery haircut.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
That's the, you're getting a brain operation haircut.
Yeah, like if somebody has an aneurysm or something,
yeah,
and they got to cut, like that's how, that's you what look you look like after that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
he's just, like he's only missing the scar. That's the only thing he's missing.
That's true. That's
Although,
true.
Maybe, I don't know, I've kids never.
Kids these days.
Children.
Yeah. Oh, the kids with the music and the clothes and the hair.
The tattoos. They're the worstest.
It's the worst. The lousiest generation there's ever been.
You guys,
voice now.
What shows you guys got coming up? You're doing, is it every other Spacebar Wednesday?
Yeah, second and fourth Wednesday, we have the open mic at Spacebar, Every single Friday, we got the Spacebar Free Friday comedy show, which is doing pretty good, so.
Yeah, I if I'm ever driving by when I'm in La Mesa, it's usually, I'm like, oh, I forgot. God, I can swing by, like, I got, like, it's always one of those things, because it's right next to my old house,
yeah.
So I'm just like, I want to get away from La Mesa, but I drive by, and I just see people in there, and it's like, oh, cool, that's badass.
Yeah.
I think I'm there Friday, right?
The week after. Next Friday, I think.
So. Okay.
Yeah, not this Friday, cool. But next Friday, yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun.
It's a very fun show.
I do like that, you've given me a couple spots there, since you've taken it over. Castleberry gave me, my Castleberry gave me a spot before. I like any show, any chance I can get on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I appreciate having friends there more, I guess. I guess that's why I like it so much. Like, oh, familiar faces.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's why this part of me doesn't understand why people, like, sometimes are kind of reluctant to do that show. You know, because I guess it does have a kind of a bad rap, but, like...
Yeah. As in not having an audience?
Huh?
As in not having an audience?
No, it's... yeah, I think yeah, what it was is just it wasn't a whole lot of audience, but I'm promoting... Yeah. A lot for it, and I'm working my ass off, and it was packed house, the very first show that I produced.
Good.
Packed house. Yeah. It's going to be a packed house this Friday.
Oh, you got a little
they had to pull out, like, chairs out of the back. And
yeah, exactly. They had to, you know, do extra work. They're like, oh, there's a lot of people here.
And this is, they serve alcohol, too, right?
And they serve beer, like they serve wine, you know. So
free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, free Wi-Fi, free show. They have pretty good food, so it's a decent spot.
You think maybe some of the animosity you're getting is because you're doing a lot of shows? I mean, you're doing...
I think it's just because you're an asshole. People don't like you.
You put...
Also, fuck you, Jake.
You put a lot of legwork.
We're fired.
You enunciated that pocket. Well.
Yeah.
Finally, we figured out something you can just, you nailed it, 100%.
Fuck. I guess it comes with practice.
Yeah. That's like the King's speech.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I'm thinking, like, maybe you just have some people that are kind of judging their success based off others, and they're comparing themselves to you. It's like, well, he gets all these spots, he's doing all this time, he's hosting all this. Like, maybe they think you're getting ahead of it. Ahead of the game because you're so new into it, but it's like that's how you get practice. Get thrown in. When I started playing music, I had zero experience, jammed with pros Valerio and Chris pretty much, and by getting thrust into this environment of just getting your ass kicked, you either get better or drop out, and you're obviously not dropping out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I think this will toughen you, and it'll just make it. Yeah. I think if you can get callous to ex friends or potential comics, you know, comments, anything else will be. You know, nothing.
A heckle, an
audience member. Yeah. At worst, you just got to worry about getting physically assaulted.
Right.
You know, but it's like, I've had someone I cared about talk shit about me. You know, like, screw that. I can go past anything. I don't know. I admire all the work you've done.
Thank you, man.
What I'm saying is, can I get some more stage time? any chance you get.
Stay headline for any, is that going to be possible?
No, but it's cool that you're, and Ryan Hicks is out there a bunch.
Yeah, he definitely.
I heard he did the improv last night, Gordon was telling me, for Jason Collings.
Yeah,
he did awesome. Pretty well. Yeah, so
I'm
excited to get practice on hosting duties, because I never really did that.
You haven't done a whole lot of hosting?
I've done once. I never really, like, had interest, but it's part of it. It's part of just getting better at, you know, your rapport, your being on stage, being on there for less time.
Right.
So Gordon said Sundays.
Okay.
Let them know, and I can hop on if Ryan and them ever can't, and Jimmy Wolper can't do it.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it. But I think I'm going to ask him for sooner than later to get some practice out there. Because, I mean, it helps.
Yeah.
It's just dealing with people. I mean, I've seen the change, like a noticeable change.
And I'm still not great at hosting. I just got to.
No, you don't have. Dude, we're not going to get great for 10 years, man.
Yeah,
we're not
going to. Yeah,
it doesn't matter now if we stop tomorrow or next year or the week after. Like, this is just, you're working hard and, you know, trying to not kill yourself until then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Anything
a little bleak?
Which is hard not to do.
Oh, it's hard. Yeah.
Barely.
I almost kill myself all the time.
Have you ever talked
to someone while shaving? Like, someone's like saying, like, hey, what are you, and you open your mouth and talk while slicing your throat? I've done that a couple of times.
I use an electric razor.
I've slit my throat. Just being like, yeah, bro, and just like a gash and just blood coming
cutting
out.
Cutting yourself shaving is the worst feeling because it doesn't even.
I like how you grabbed your chin.
Because, you know.
That was just
no,
empathy.
No.
Yeah, empathy.
You were doing it. No.
Because it doesn't even hurt as bad as just the action of cutting yourself. It's
the reminder.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you fucked up. You fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I think we're winding down. Do we want to plug anything?
Well, this is going to come out on Tuesday, right?
It's Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
Sal and I.
Yeah, I guess we have till 2 tonight.
Tonight. 9 o'clock.
The 28th. 9 o'clock. I'll get there at 8:57 with the pizzas. And then around 9:25, we'll get the show started, and it'll be rocking. I've been working on this set all night. Can't wait for tonight, Tuesday. That is tonight.
Tonight, today, which is Tuesday, later in this evening,
when
we're there, we're gonna crush. Everybody's gonna crush. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be the best night of our lives.
Did the Super Bowl happen yet?
No.
No. Would it
have happened yet?
Did it have happened though?
Okay.
No.
Well, way to go, team. Oh yeah, you're a football girl.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. That's cool. When is the bowl?
I think it's in February.
So football hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
Not all
no
of the football.
Football.
No footballs yet.
No football. Okay. I don't sport.
Yeah.
All right. So we got till 2. Every Sunday we have the new open mic at till 2 at 9.
And the next day, so Tuesday, and the next day we have, you and me, have the Comedy Store.
Oh, dude. That's the Gordon Downs Comedy Festival. Comedy Store preemptively starting off the San Diego Comedy Festival. No relation
to the San Diego Comedy Festival.
But we have a sick poster of Darth Vader doing the Virgin Mary thing. Yeah, that's going to be...
Speaking of no relation, is there any reason why it's Darth Vader doing the Virgin Mary pose?
Bro, you don't get it?
Bro,
come on.
Let me quote the Red Hot Chili Peppers. If you have to ask, you will never know.
Oh.
All right? So just find out, brah.
Okay, right. I'll look into it.
And let me quote Parliament real quick.
Okay.
Free your mind, and your ass will follow. All right. All right, bro.
Oh, this has been also, Punsters. Yeah. I think we're
okay. So yeah, we got the the comedy store. I'm really excited about. That's the one I'm pumped about. Are you doing the competition on Monday, which was yesterday? Next
week? No, February 17th. That's my date.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing that competition.
Oh, on this Monday?
Yeah.
Yesterday. I mean, yesterday.
You'd have done it yesterday.
At Queen Bee.
You killed, dude. Oh, and that one. Okay. Yeah, congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man. I couldn't. I can't believe I beat everyone.
Yeah, well, you were the best.
Yeah, that was great. But yeah, that Comedy Store show is going to be fucking killer. Ryan Hicks, Wolpert.
Heard of him.
Jimmy Calloway. Jimmy Calloway. I only saw him once at Tilt 2, and I know I've seen him around, and you guys did a great interview with him. But that guy's funny, and I like his.
Yeah, I like Jimmy Calloway a lot.
He's opening for Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, he did.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
That's sick. An ACC competition he won?
Yeah, pretty much.
Was it him?
The open mic.
Him, Dan Venti, and
Bandic. And Peter Bandic.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm stoked. See, I don't get how people can get jealous. It's like, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know those faces. Like, that's good news.
Yeah. Well, those are all funny people, too. Yeah. So you should
well-deserved people.
No, you know what? I don't think that, if an unfunny person got it, well, whatever. That means I can also get it.
Right.
You know?
That's true. That's another way to look at
you
it.
You got a glass half full, motherfucker. Glass half full, motherfucker.
That's the most aggressive...
Yeah, it's a compliment, man.
No one in your life has ever called you a motherfucker.
You're banging mamas.
Like, I do.
Oh, you're the mama banger.
That's true.
Are you really? Well, you're a poacher?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. That's sick, dude. Well, you're probably like the best here at sex. Like, they probably like train the shit. No, dude, they're like, no, you're fucking up. Let me just teach you. And then now you can teach all these young girls. If you were into them. Oh, you went like, nah, you know, dozens of young girls. Do they, have they bought you any sick stuff?
No. I mean, the most I've ever gotten is like drinks.
You got a bit out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a bit out of it.
So that's worth it.
It was not a good bit, so we'll work on it. Well, actually, I haven't done it in a long time. I don't have confidence in it. I need to
The breast cancer hard. One?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Okay. I just gotta rework it, I think. There's something about it that I don't like.
It's not hard, Coogan, when you're a young guy that sells clothing. And you're wearing a suit.
Oh, and you're in La Jolla, dude.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
this
dude.
And Del Mar? Before, fucking.
When I first started, it took a couple compliments from my friend's girlfriends. And I was like, oh, maybe they like a guy that's dressed up.
You're right.
And then walking around here.
Wait, what's this?
Yeah. They apparently like a guy that can take care of himself.
Can you just let Raul pretend to work here for a day so he can bang a
Oh, man, are you saying he needs a style upgrade, or what are you saying?
No, sure. I'm saying so he can be around all the cougars.
Oh, dude, we got to hang out more often.
That's true.
I mean, if you ever want, we can have a writing session, grab some food, and then go to the Comedy Store and just catch a show or something.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Sundays. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it does. Heard that.
Yeah, that's
You good. Heard that. So it does sound,
that's
it's
what
clear.
That's doing while you're probably at home or doing something else.
No, it's going to be fun. You guys.
For us, for sure, yeah.
Well, really excited. He can chew with his mouth closed, so let's
really excited
let's just,
for
let's
the
just
evening
cross
you guys have planned. It's going to be a good time.
All right, well, that's our 10-minute wrap-up, I think.
Yeah. Do you have Twitters?
Yeah, follow us at @_Punsters on Twitter. Just search the Punsters on Facebook.
I mean, if you can't find it, we don't want you. How about that?
Oh, that's the attitude you want at the forefront of your...
If you can't figure it out,
you should
not
start
being a fan.
Like that. It should start like that.
This should be the intro.
You're Jake Dishroon, just flat Jake Dishroon on Twitter?
I am, and I've used that Twitter... once in the last year. So
I think I tagged you. I'm Salvador Viesca. I've been using it more often. I'm stoked because Stanhope responded twice today. I'm gonna go drop off some sport coats that I had some sport coats that I own that are 1970s style, and they look like his size and his crazy style that he has and all the promotional stuff. So that's I'm running to La Mesa right now to go grab them, and I'm gonna drop them off at the Comedy Store, see if he digs them.
I know you said you would give them to him for free.
Yeah.
Would you be insulted if he doesn't at least offer to pay?
No.
You should be.
Why?
It's rude.
No, it's rude to do something nice and expect something out of it.
That's rude. Jake.
I think it's
I think he's a big shot celebrity.
Oh.
I don't agree with the majority of things Jake says, just so people know.
I don't think Jake even does. I think he's just being contrarian.
Yeah, contrarian.
You're balancing the power. No, if he offered, I'm sure he's been around enough to be like, here, you want something, you're sure, let me get you a beer, blah, 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 blah. Like, he knows that's how you deal with people. Clearly, he knows how to deal with people because he's getting this work, this business, you know, he's getting booked for things.
He got booked at Winston's.
Let's knock that. He loves Winston's. Winston's is like the perfect Stanhope place.
That's a very Stanhope place.
Come on, Jesus Christ, Jake, do some more time before you start condescending to Doug Stanhope.
I know this guy.
Fuck.
First Jeff Bilodeau.
Jake Ducharoon.
Well, I just
fucking just nuking his career opportunities.
I just have a feeling he's not going to hear this.
Oh no, that's fine. But I mean, that attitude is going to come across in other in other manners of your being.
I'm saying is,
oh yeah, I've talked to other comics.
Doug Stanhope.
Talked to other comics that don't know who Jake is, but they're like, hey, that guy needs to suck a dick.
What's the asshole on the Punsters?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No one's ever said anything about
him. Yeah, well, no one knows
how people feel about him.
No, I think
always good.
No, it doesn't matter what people feel or think about you, as long as you're cool with it.
I like you, Jake. No,
you're a good guy.
Yeah.
I like you guys too.
And you're a decent lover.
Oh, I wasn't part of that.
Decent.
Yeah, you got to start banging more cougars and learn a thing or two, motherfucker.
Taking notes from me.
Yeah. Just watch.
I don't think I want you to teach me how to have sex, bro. No offense.
I don't want to run this long. I know we're closing, but how do you go at it when you poon slay?
When you're slamming abroad,
Do you just go to the bar and just start talking?
How do you lay down that pipe?
Has stand up helped you being more confident?
Actually, I've done it less since I started stand up.
Oh.
But
you've had less.
You don't have time.
Yeah. It's hard because I'm so focused.
No one's come up to you after a show and been like, oh, hey,
no,
young man.
Really. I feel like chuckle fuckers are a myth unless you go to LA, maybe, I guess. But
the closest I've gotten to sex from comedy is some guy saying, hey, I really liked your Magic the Gathering joke.
And I was like, you came instantly.
This is as good as it's going to get.
Oh, damn. So that's interesting. Comedy's taken away from your dick. Slaying.
We got your priorities in order.
What?
You got your priorities in order.
Yeah.
You're out every night.
Yeah, just about.
This is my favorite thing I've ever heard in my life. If somebody once said, I'm not single, I'm building my empire. That's the dopest shit.
That is some CEO sociopath.
Right?
Fucking, you don't matter to me.
American Psycho type.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's what I fucking hate. Those dudes that, swear that they saw American Psycho 100 times and they think they're sociopaths. You know what I'm talking about? Those guys that think they're geniuses, that think they're, sly. And it's no, you're just insane and wearing a suit. You're delusional, but you're not actually going to kill someone. First of all, I saw you yawn when that guy yawned. Instantly, you have empathy. Okay, so let's not pretend you're a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, you just want to. You think it's cool.
Oh yeah.
You think the message of American Psycho is, wouldn't it be cool if everyone was a sociopath?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
If you were so cold.
What
and
if
just
everybody was
unforgiving?
A murderer? That'd be dope, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's not.
So was it a dream the whole time? All right, Punsters, thanks for having Salvador Viesca V from Twitter.
Thanks for having us.
Famous Twitter celebrity, Sal Viesca.
V at the end. I'm the fifth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sal Viesca V?
Yeah, so suck my dick. I'm being aggressive today. Why am I being, you're so nice to me? And I'm like,
I don't know.
You, motherfucker.
It's because you're on
Adderall. I shit on Doug Stanhope for no reason. I didn't even care if he was going to offer you money. I just wanted to say that to be a dick.
I don't care if he offers me money. I don't expect it. It'd be nice to shoot the shit and learn a couple things, but I'm not doing that. I had those jackets. I was like, if he ever comes to town, I'm giving them to him. And they were his exact size.
And hey, look, if he is listening, I think you're great. How about that?
Yeah, he's probably turned it off by now.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Because he definitely sat through this.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, he's a fan. He's told me that.
Yeah.
When we speak, you're great, Doug. I think I've never seen you do stand up ever before in my life, but I assume
you
you're wonderful.
You know what, Jake? You're making it worse.
You're digging so.
I liked
so much
you on the Man Show.
That sounded so ingenuine.
Let's end the podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about. I liked you on the Man Show.
It's like
Doug
when
Stanhope.
Your friend asks you to check out his band, and you're like, "That
was good.
Great lighting.
That was good. Yeah.
The lighting was sick.
The sound quality was just.
What kind of rug do you keep the drums on so they don't slide around?
What gauge pick are you using? Medium? Yeah. Good choice. Yeah. Good choice.
Oh, a pick. You're using a pick.
Yeah, that's a nice instrument for that to be using on that guitar.
Oh my gosh. Ending things. Do you have to pee?
Bye!
Is this our longest wrap up?
Yeah, this is.
We've had some long wrap ups.
Oh, guys, I'm sorry. And I need to get to the La Mesa.
Don't apologize. This is the best part of the show, is me apologizing to Doug Stanhope.
Okay.
And I'm sorry.
I can't do this
I really thought the Man Show was good.
Okay, all right, that's enough. All right. Okay.
Jesus.
You guys, Ivan Rolls Umbrano.
I'm Brittany Hersbrand.
I'm Jake DeShroom.
I think we're going to guess Sal Viesca or Salvador Viesca the Fifth. On Twitter.
Salvador Jose Viesca El Quinto. That's the fifth in Spain.
Thanks for hosting at your store, man. This is awesome. This was a cool place to do it in, man.
Thanks for coming by. I appreciate you guys taking the time to redo it. If any comics ever want to get dudded up and get some clothing or whatever, I'll always give them a deal. And I know money's tight, so if you guys need help.
Have we ever said the name of the store?
Le Chauviniste.
All right, there we go.
There we go. We're right down the street from the Comedy Store.
To answer my question, yes.
All there right. we go.
Cool. Yeah, we're very close to the store.
Thanks for the hat, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the $29.
I love you, Doug Sandham.
Have a great day.